Joe.
Garage Logic Podcast. Well, let me start over. Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores.
There we go.
Brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 145, April 24, 2019, 86 degrees on this day in 1990, 19 degrees in 1910. We're winding down towards the end of the ice out dates. White Bear, I could only find one on this day, 1996. Minnetonka, 1899, 1924. And they joined White Bear in 1996 and 2014. These ice out days brought to you by Aquaside. They'll keep your beach free of weeds all summer. We have a note from H. Allen Vanderhoff out in New Hampshire. Ice out was declared for Lake Winnipesaukee at 5:24 a.m. today, Wednesday, April 24th. Note, the criteria for the ice out is the ability of the MS Mount Washington cruise ship to navigate between the five principal ports on the lake: Alton Bay, Center Harbor, Weirs Beach, Meredith, and Wolfboro. The setting of the exact date and time is non-scientific and is now determined by an observer in a small plane from Emerson Aviation that flies over the lake several times a day. When the pilot makes the ice out call, it is considered official. Spring in New Hampshire is great. Temps in the 60s, normal for this time of year. And Bill Stein up in Aiken notes that Cedar Lake in Aiken is officially ice-free today, April 24, one day after the average ice-out date. The Puss Lake chain, upper, lower, and middle Puss, and Lard went out on Easter Sunday. Mille Lacs still has a way to go.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
I got a great lesson today in...
From Kenny?
No. In... What would the term be? In how the internet works or the world of news gathering?
Research.
Research. I got an email from a guy named Mitch Sondrial, and he's been a credible emailer for years. And he emailed, he said, today, meaning yesterday, you mentioned the climate crowd is a runaway theocracy. Here's a good argument that it's a cult. And the headline of the piece he linked me to is called Climate Change and the 10 Warning Signs for Cults. Right?
Okay.
And it turns out this was a piece done by a guy named Rick Ross, an expert on cults and an intervention specialist. And he said he developed a list of 10 warning signs for unsafe groups, which is published by the Cult Education Institute. Okay, so I read these. They're fascinating. They're eerie. They're uncannily accurate.
Okay.
That the climate change true believers are in a cult.
These are warning signs.
Reason number one, absolute authoritarianism without meaningful accountability. Child advocates such as Greta Thunberg and the crudely indoctrinated children of the Sunrise Movement are essentially sock puppets for their shameless activist leaders, refuse to bend the knee to these tiny fascists, as Dianne Feinstein most recently did, and the mainstream left will relentlessly attack you as an accessory to mass murder. Number two, no tolerance for questions or critical inquiry.
Big time.
Didn't we discover that yesterday?
Yes.
Three, no meaningful financial disclosure regarding budget expenses such as independently audited financial statement. Four, unreasonable fear about the outside world, such as impending catastrophe, evil, conspiracies, and prosecutions.
Ooh.
Number five, there is no legitimate reason to leave. Former followers are always wrong in leaving, negative or even evil. Mm. Six, former members often relate the same stories of abuse and reflect a similar pattern of grievances. Number seven, there are records, books, news articles, or television programs that document the abuses of the group or leader. Let me read this one. The abuses of the climate change movement are loud and proud. They vociferously attack their perceived enemies for public consumption and are cheered on by fellow travelers in the journalism class. Most recently, they brainwashed a bunch of kids and marched them into an octogenarian Democratic senator's office to beg not to be murdered by a no vote on impossible legislation. Have you seen these kids in Dianne Feinstein's office? You should. It's creepy. And then they link it to that.
Right.
We played it.
We can't play it anymore.
Months ago.
You want me to play it now?
No. Number eight, followers feel they can never be good enough because they issue a fatwa against innocent objects such as plastic straws and grocery bags. Despite all the efforts of the faithful, climate minions maintain a constant state of dread and despair. Number nine, the group slash leader is always right. And this is a group where they're never wrong.
Right.
If it snows, that's climate change. And if it's too hot, that's climate change. They're never wrong.
Right.
Number 10, the group or leader is the exclusive means of knowing truth or receiving validation. Okay.
For those 10 you listed, I could list 10 more for each item proving that they are, like number 9. What was number 9? Read that one.
The group or leader is always right.
Go back to number 8.
Number 8 is followers feel they can never be good enough.
Carbon credits. Yeah. So you're buying carbon credits because you feel bad because you're flying to Hawaii in your private jet all the time.
Okay, here's what's interesting. This piece is credited to somebody named Will at oil-guns-murica.
Murica.
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 And he said, this piece starts out, have you ever thought to yourself that the climate change movement seems more and more like a religious movement? I have. So I researched how to identify a religious cult. Rick Ross, an expert on cults and intervention specialist, developed a list of 10 warning signs for unsafe groups, which is published by the Cult Education Institute. So let's take a look at all 10 signs and compare. And I thought, well, I'm going to call Rick Ross. It became clear to me then that this actual piece is not authored by Rick Ross. This is someone out there on the interwebs who came upon Rick Ross's institute in New Jersey, which is called the Cult Education Institute. And I called Ross, and he said, yeah, I'm familiar with that. I don't know who these people are that took these 10 admonitions. And he said, they're being misportrayed.
I overheard the conversation. Mm-hmm. I was in the other room, and you at one point said, were you plagiarized?
Yeah.
And that's when I really started listening in on your side of the conversation.
And he said, I wasn't plagiarized. If you go to the website of this fellow's institute, which I would imagine, say, a parent would go to if they're worried their 15-year-old was involved in a potentially unsafe group or cult.
Yeah.
And he has these 10 things, but he said, climate change is a movement, he said, but technically it would be unreasonable to call it a cult. Because there is no one leader or ruler of the movement, unlike Charles Manson, Jim Jones.
Okay. Right.
There's no supreme
David
leader
Koresh.
to whom they all express their loyalty and affection.
And to which both Reavers and I immediately jumped to the conclusion, wait a minute, it's Al Gore. But then after further discussion and thought, we realized, no,
there isn't one.
Al Gore is not the leader. Although
he's captain.
He might be somewhere down the line, but he is not
the guy.
What about
John Kerry?
No, he's not in charge either.
Let's go with the expert Ross. Let me finish the story. So what we have here is some unknown entity. I don't know who Will at Oil Guns in America is. This is an entity that obviously takes great amusement in the hysteria of the global warming crowd.
Right.
And somehow, whoever this person is came across the 10 warning signs that your kid might be joining a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever this person is, then immediately just and very easily, it's very easy to do, said, these are the 10 warning signs that climate change followers are a cult. And this Ross guy was really cool-headed. It didn't seem to upset him that somebody took his work and attached
it
to climate change. Because he said, yeah, it's pretty accurate. You can attach these 10 things to the climate change movement, except it's not a cult. Yes.
Do you think he was okay with it because that's truly what he feels?
Well, I got the news. I got the impression from chatting with him that he's not a big he's not freaking out about the climate. And also, you know, he was credited in the piece. Whoever this entity is that took Rick Ross's work credits him. Remember, to go back, and this unidentified entity said, I researched how to identify a religious cult. Rick Ross, an expert on cults and intervention, developed a list of 10 warning signs for unsafe groups, which is published by the Cult Education Institute. So let's take a look at all 10 signs and compare. So I guess Ross is comfortable with the idea that some unknown entity out there went and took his 10 warning signs and tried to make the case that they are warning signs suggesting that the true believers about the climate are actually cult members, and to which Ross would respond, not really. That's not entirely accurate.
Right.
But so
any pub is good pub, so at least he's happy to be recognized, even though it doesn't fit here.
That's a whole different discussion, and Joe and I vehemently disagree with that statement. He needs to be more proprietary.
Right.
You know, a guy's got to make a living.
Right.
Well, and then he said people think anti-vaxxers is a cult. And he said there's no ruler. There's no one person out there that's the ruler. He said,
walking on water.
He said people have taken his work and have suggested that the people who vote for Trump are a cult. He said that's preposterous on the face of it. You don't elect cult leaders.
Right. Cult leaders,
you know, Charles Manson did not run to be the head of the Charlie Manson family.
Right, right.
So he said that Trump people who vote for Trump are not in a member of a cult. The longer or the broader point of this fascination is I'm glad I called the guy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are going to come on the air and say, you know what, these climate change people, that's a I think that's where they're headed. I said yesterday it's a runaway theocracy.
Which is a great description.
I think that's where it's going.
Yeah.
But in technical and definitive terms of what constitutes a cult, climate change followers do not constitute a cult.
It's merely a movement.
It's a movement.
A movement that's going unchecked right now.
So, and I said to this guy, Rick Ross, I'm going to keep this a piece in your name and your number. And I gave him my name and the spelling of my name. And I said, I believe in the future there will be a great chance to give you a call and we'll have a nice chat about something.
Hmm.
Yes, you at the back.
I think at this point, because we've been inundated by climate change since, what did you go back to, the early 70s?
Well, 1970 was the first Earth Day.
All right, so that, I don't think anyone could elevate to becoming the leader of this quote-unquote cult, because it's been around us for far too long. Here's what I think. Isn't the leader then the ideology of climate change?
No, because ideology is a thing, not a person.
But I don't think a person could become.
Well, by definition, all cults follow a leader. All cults. Let's just take climate out of it. Just think of it in terms of a cult. Who were these fruitcakes in California that all wore the black tennis shoes, thought they were flying
Heaven's
to
Gators.
Butterflyville or something?
Heaven's Gators.
Yeah. Heaven's Gators. Yeah. They were following somebody. They were following somebody.
Purple
Jim
sneakers.
Jones took his people down and fed them the bad Kool-Aid. And
Koresh.
David
Branch
Koresh.
Davidians.
Yeah. But the ideology is not the leader. The ideology is the reason they exist. But they don't have anyone to follow. This is basically what the guy was offering, was some garage logicianship here. And I'm glad I called him. Don't go off the deep end, he's basically saying. This isn't a cult. It's goofy as hell, and my 10 things to watch out for can easily be attached to this.
Right.
But that doesn't define, he didn't write those 10 things, in other words. There's the key.
So,
he didn't write those 10 things on his website to apply to climate change followers. He wrote those 10 things to help people find out if loved ones or people close to them are in danger of joining potentially unsafe groups.
Got it.
Yeah. All right.
So because I know he's going to email later after he listens to the podcast, so what you're suggesting is it has to have, the group has to have some type of leader to be considered a cult.
Well, he's the expert, not me. That's what he told me.
So you're saying like potentially a fake mayor in a fake town congregating at like the state fair.
Right.
That's what you're kind of suggesting.
That's not analogous.
Wait a minute here. Hang on. Let me see number 8 again. Can I see number 8 again over there? Oh, wise one, oh mayor.
Well, I have something serious then. So this could be considered a movement, correct?
That's a movement.
Are there any...
Anti-vaxxers are a movement.
Is there anything in history, let's just say immediate history, the last 200 years, that equals this movement? There's nothing I can come up with.
Nothing's occurring to me.
You mean great fear? That
no, a movement like this where the opposing viewpoint will not be heard no matter what. There is no time.
I can't come up with anything right off the top of my head.
Nor can I.
I'm going to write one down because I don't want to say it on the show.
Yeah. Say one size fits all, that rarely fits anyone. That's why Federated Mutual Insurance Company, Owatonna, Minnesota's own, tailors its insurance programs to your individual needs, your individual business or industry. They offer property and casualty, life and disability income insurance. And here's the key. Their marketing representatives get to know you, the owner, and how your operation works, and that allows them to customize the coverage you need. They'll take care of your driving needs with auto liability. Worried about a cyber attack? Well, look at the headlines. You might want to take care of getting your data compromise coverage in order. Your business is unique. You need an insurance carrier who treats it that way. Get in touch with a Federated Insurance Marketing Representative to see how their second-to-none service can help your business thrive, because at Federated Insurance, it's their business to protect yours. Yes? What am I being handed?
We're keeping it here. I asked, is there any comparable movements? Chris wrote that down.
Don't say it on the show.
Unless you're sure it is.
I'd have to think about it for a minute.
Yeah.
I did some math today.
Oh, boy.
How'd that go?
I used a calculator.
Yeah. Good. So it's accurate.
That's advisable.
So your results were accurate.
Today in the Star Tribune, there is the always anticipated letter from someone saying, let's not judge all Muslims because of what happened in Sri Lanka.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Fair enough statement.
Yep.
Right. But you're going to get that every time. Mm-hmm. So I looked up. There's 1.8 billion Muslims in the world. And according to the Christian Science Monitor, a fairly credible news source, as many as 25% could be radicalized.
Okay.
Well, let's call it 2 billion so I can do the math. That's 500 million radicalized. That's a lot of people.
It is.
I have nowhere to go with that. I'm just saying that's a hell of a lot of radicalized people.
Yeah.
What is it, 500 million, 25% of 2 billion?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, there's 1,000 million in a billion. It's 500 million people. It turns out these bombers in Sri Lanka were upper middle class people, some of whom educated in London.
Right.
They lived in the toniest neighborhood of Colombo in a million-dollar mansion. That tells me only one thing. They are committed. They're very committed people. They're committed to the supremacy of their ideological and theological belief.
What was your number?
Well, I came up with
500 million.
It's 500 million.
Yep, you're right.
I'm not suggesting anything except, you know, every time I see one of these letters, well, you know, we're just peace loving, and we don't, you know, we all do understand that, you know, I believe you. I agree with you. You got 500 million loose cannons under your wing. 500 million.
That's a lot of people.
And
if that's the right number, if 25% are radicalized, that's 500 million.
And without a patch or an ID tag saying radical, you know, there's no way to identify.
I find myself finding it interesting to have noted that many were educated elsewhere, not in Sri Lanka, which is an island nation in the Indian Ocean. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be something if all of them had attended a failed academy in the United States? Because I don't think what I'm about to say is an inaccurate statement.
Okay.
They would have heard nothing at the failed academy that would have disabused them of the idea that they should go kill people.
Whoa, wait, what?
No, they would have heard nothing in the failed academy. They wouldn't have heard specific instructions at the failed academy to go kill people. But there's nothing in the failed academy that would have alerted them to the idea that their ideas weren't the best ideas.
Are you saying that because of your explanation that these institutions now, these universities now, they're always trying to find a reason for you to feel oppressed?
Yeah, they're so failed that they're giving moral equivalent to everybody. in the failed academy. Moral equivalency to everybody. So I was just going to say, if one of them went to Stanford, it wouldn't surprise me that that would
go out and do what
it,
you want.
It would not have had any impact on him going to Stanford. Nothing at Stanford would have converted him into being a reasonable human being.
But would that type of person, being an extremist, even have the desire to do such a thing in their path in life?
What do you mean? They just did it.
No, I meant go to a university to go get educated.
Some of them were educated in London at the university.
Oof. Well, yeah. You guys, I zoned out there because I actually turned to that letter. You should read that letter on the air.
Is it a good one?
Well, it's the one you referred
to,
Joe.
No, I know.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. It's especially starting mid-second paragraph. Or
the destruction of churches in Sri Lanka during Easter services is deeply disturbing because not only was life lost, but it was lost during a sacred time when worshipers were taking the name of God. Muslims must protect the rights of others to freely practice their religion. It is a fundamental part of faith. The Quran speaks unequivocally on the fact that if we do not protect the rights of all people, we will see the destruction of cloisters, churches, synagogues, and mosques, wherein the name of God is often commemorated.
Right there. That's the very important line.
It places the rights of these houses of worship at par with mosques. The Prophet Muhammad went to great measures to ensure the protection of other faiths. In a covenant made with the Christian monasteries, he clearly outlined no monk shall be expelled from his monastery. None of their churches and other places will be desolated, destroyed, or demolished. No material of their churches will be used for building mosques or houses of the Muslims. Any Muslim doing so will be regarded as recalcitrant to God and his prophet. When the Caliph Umar ibn al-Khattab entered Jerusalem, he was offered to pray inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. He refused, citing that he did not wish such an action to be construed to mean that Muslims can assert rights over other places of worship. True Islam defends others' places of worship. It simply doesn't destroy them. Sophia Koresh of Appleton, Wisconsin. It's a gorgeous letter.
Yeah, it is.
It's a gorgeous letter.
Yeah,
But do you see any evidence that of people practicing this?
No. Well, no. Not,
yeah, her.
Not in the radical sense, right?
No.
So I'm wondering, where do they get these orders where Islam is the only religion and why all
That's
others,
a great question. Because you got 500 million.
Because the Quran preaches otherwise, as did Muhammad.
You got 500 million people, if that's the number, who are radicalized. They're not going to go by what Sophia just told us.
They're taking their own interpretation.
They don't give a
which
damn.
Is what the Quran tells us.
Yeah.
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 It's a lovely religion, you know, like the rest of them. Except you Catholics still have me confused. But anyway, that's a whole different story.
We like it that way. But what a pleasing picture to see not the bodies, but the funeral procession with all of those people coming together.
All religions.
Yeah, I mean, just everybody, because I'm sure there were Muslims there too, Catholics.
Right, absolutely.
And that funeral procession was moving, I guess is a better word.
Say, why don't we take a short time out, Mr. Reavers, and we'll be back.
Are you ready for a different point of view? Say, this is Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. I'm here, as always, to answer your questions on stocks, bonds, mutual funds, what you should be doing with your retirement dollars. But of course, you do have to give me a call at 952-925-5608. With much market volatility on the horizon, you're going to need some help. So give me a call at 952-925-5608. You always get straight talk, not sugar-coated advice from me. Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. I'm here to help you personally set your portfolio to deal with this upcoming volatility. So make a point to give me a call for a no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute review at 952-925-5608.
Investment advisor services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a registered advisor in the state of Minnesota. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk.
You cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Soucheray.
What's with the cancellation of Grand Old Day?
You know, I heard that and I immediately blamed the mayor, and then I looked it up and found out he doesn't have
he's
anything
not part of it.
To do with it.
Yeah. He's not, but I think there's too much bickering and politics in the Grand Avenue Business
There's
Association.
A shocker.
Yeah, coming back next year.
What are they bickering about?
Coming back next year bigger and stronger. That I'm not buying whatever that is.
Basically, I saw Jake Coles do the piece on it, and he said he was told outright that they're different members want to go different ways. And even though this is a great celebration.
Don't they all make money?
Well, think about it, though. Grand Avenue has lost many of its mom and pop shops.
Yeah.
And that was the charm of Grand Avenue. And so now these bigger corporations may not be as, I don't know, neighborly, I guess.
I'm not buying that. What big corporation is there? There's still little bistros and
there are little bistros,
Fratelloni's on Grand
Avenue.
I wonder
there are, but it's very pricey to do business on Grand Avenue, and Grand Old Days would be an expense.
Has the attendance gone down?
I don't think it's ever gone down.
I don't think attendance is an issue, but I know their volunteer numbers have
considerably
down.
Do you think it's been lumberjacked?
Can I still crawl down Grand Avenue on all fours and be left alone?
Anybody over 40 that even goes to it should be immediately arrested.
Okay, good.
People on
so
Facebook
I don't have to go.
Right. Are threatening to have their own grand old day and go party in somebody's front yard, you know, by invitation.
Well, the term lumberjack, of course, is we applied that to lumberjack days in Stillwater that was routinely getting accused of being too successful.
Mm-hmm.
They finally ended it, didn't they? And then they brought it back in some capacity.
In a different form.
So I wonder if Grand Old Day got lumberjacked. Just too damn popular.
My thing is the officials. I think there was too many ordinances. You can't do this. You have to do this. You need to pay a permit for this. And it's costly, and they need volunteers to run it, and they don't have the volunteers.
Well, wish I could help you. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll miss it. That's a great
Is there an overseeing body that makes money from this?
Because the businesses have to pay, right, to be...
Let me help. The Grand Avenue Business Association puts it on.
Let me help you all out.
Okay, check
The Grand out. Avenue Business Association probably has to pony up the money for security... for the roadblocks, for the cops, to bring in the porta potties and the whole deal, the insurance. And it's been successful for 45 years. I don't know why they suddenly would say, we don't want to do it anymore. And the story I'm reading isn't really helping me understand why, except it sounds like maybe some internal strife among the board of directors of the Grand Avenue Business Association.
And Matthew, are you saying that's what Jay Cole said?
Yes, that's what Jay reported. He was told, it wasn't told who,
that
but anonymously
legitimate.
That.
Legitimate.
Every Wednesday in the Wall Street Journal,
yeah.
they have a section on somebody's favorite car.
Yeah.
Today it was a motorcycle. A guy who collects vintage Hondas, and he still has the Honda 90 that he bought when he was 14 years old.
Oh,
that is fantastic. And I bet this guy is knowledgeable about DennisKirk.com.
Yeah, where does he get
That's a Minnesota company, but DennisKirk.com would help this guy. They have more than 160,000 motorcycle products in stock and ready to ship today. These are the best brands, Vance and Hines, Dunlop, S&S, Saddleman, Drag Specialties, and Curiakin. $89 order ship free. And Dennis Kirk will pay return shipping on helmet and apparel products. DennisKirk.com. Order by 8 p.m. today and get it tomorrow.
You glanced over it so quickly. Helmet products.
Right.
In the last two, three days that I've been in town, I think that every motorcycle rider I've seen, it doesn't matter what he's riding, I think they've all had helmets on.
Well,
I haven't seen one guy in the last 3 days not wearing a helmet.
Like a World War II black helmet?
All different kind of helmets. And what's great about Kirk is if it doesn't fit, or if the wife says you look like a bleep heel,
right.
You send it back.
And well, they pay the shipping.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've got a notion, if you think maybe it's worth protecting, it's so simple.
It's not just young people who have lost their relationship with nature. The Grand Canyon got another one yesterday.
Come on.
A 70-year-old woman.
Who should know better.
Wouldn't she know better?
Did she back over the edge?
Mm-hmm. A woman fell to her death at the Grand Canyon's South Rim Tuesday, park officials confirmed. Park rangers responded to reports of a person needing help near Pipe Creek Vista at about 1 p.m., according to NBC. The park said the 70-year-old woman fell from the rim before a rescue effort could be undertaken. Wait a minute. That sentence makes no sense.
Say that to me again.
The park said the 70-year-old woman fell from the rim before a rescue effort could be undertaken.
So maybe she slipped over, was trying to hold steady. The rescuers were summoned, but couldn't make
it. A technical rescue team searched for the woman's body in a helicopter and discovered it had fallen 200 feet below the rim. The body was recovered by a team of 15. The woman's name was not released. This is Tuesday's death was the fifth inside the park this year and the second involving a fall from the south rim. On April 5, a 67-year-old man died from falling 400 feet from the south rim, and two persons died at the national park in a span of 2 days in March. One tourist died after falling from the rim of Eagle Point, and the other died in an unspecified incident.
I hope we find out more about
this. Did you say Pipe Creek Vista?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that, and you pull off the highway. There's a parking lot right there. And from Google Maps and Google Earth, it looks like you have to walk about 50, 60 yards through the sagebrush. There's no trail or anything there. And you literally stand right at the precipice with no kind of rail or anything.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a trail to the edge. I'm not seeing
fences. So it's like going to the Mississippi River Boulevard, I mean, on a grander scale.
Folks, it's a giant hole in the ground. What is wrong with you?
As you get within 5 feet of the edge, you should get that feeling of...
The elevator stomach.
Saying,
I can get that feeling sitting right here.
I'm like six states away.
I'm 2,000 miles away and I got
looking
it.
Looking at it
Kenny's
on the computer.
Already sweating.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, what did you say the death count was? Six people this year?
Five so far this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I insist that's losing a relationship with nature. Just being so unaware that... What, you think you're invincible?
You must. I don't know what reassurance you could have.
But a 70 or 67-year-old has not been raised in that cocoon that these 25, 30-year-olds have.
That grandma gave us all a bad reputation.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No offense to grandma. I'm sorry you died, but you're embarrassing my generation.
What was she trying to—I hope it wasn't a selfie— Was she trying to look over the edge and lost footing?
She probably asked somebody to take a selfie of her.
It's too bad because just a half a mile away, you can go to a place where there is a balcony and there is a railing, and you're perfectly
safe.
And
I'd hand you a phone and say, take a selfie of me.
Right, safely.
That's not a selfie if Brooke takes it of you.
But if you can get his arm in there so it looks like he's actually taking his selfie. Like,
okay, stop.
It's a line from a current commercial. It's a line from a commercial that's currently running. I think it's hilarious where the guy says, here, take a selfie of me.
Right.
And the other guy says, take a selfie of you.
Yeah. Right.
Or the other day, Joe was reading a story. I think it was on the Daily Mail. And he says, Reavers, come over here. And I said, yeah. And there was a picture of a 25-year-old woman taking a selfie in the mirror. And he says, who's taking that picture? I said, Joe, Jesus H, it's a mirror.
Fail.
That's the photo. Well, who's taking it?
Well, but see it here. Okay, let me explain.
Will all this bring back Jack Benny?
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Here we go. No, come on. Come on here. Let's go. Sound it out.
These tabloid... mischievous papers like the Daily Mail or the Sun, every picture of a 25-year-old woman is her posing in some flirtatious way, and she's holding her camera.
The phone.
And yet you're seeing her phone, and yet you're seeing her.
Mm-hmm. Is that in Los Angeles?
Who's taking the picture?
We should walk him to the restroom with his cell phone right now.
Oh, that's got GL video all over it.
Yeah.
Here, take a selfie of me.
Yes.
Here we are.
Ready for my selfies.
Yeah.
Say, John Camp tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
You might know him more as John Sanford. I've always known him as John Camp. The new Lucas Davenport Prey novel is Neon Prey. I think it's 29th in the series. He'll be on the podcast tomorrow. And presidential candidate Jim Pepe. Is it Jim Pepe?
Pepe.
He's a former local. He's a former Minnesotan who was a longtime GLer, now lives in Texas, and is putting together a legitimate run for the presidency. And we'll have to ask him why and what he stands for. And he's been wanting to come on the show, and we've been emailing, and it looks like he'll be on Friday.
And what is his party affiliation?
Well, I don't know. When you read his website, the print face comes up so vague on the screen that I can't read
decipher.
It. Okay. Yeah. See, you recall our demo derby guy, our own guy Matt.
Matt. Yes. We met him at the fair.
Yeah. Garage Logic's own demo derby driver. He says he attached a picture of the first of many of 2019 GL demo derby cars. It isn't my signature lime green yet, with the Garage Logic and my number 9 written on it, but it will be soon. I'll be sure to stay in touch on how my summer plays out as I plan to build and race as many cars as I ever have in the 2019 season. Wish me luck. Cheers, Matt. Good luck, Matt.
How's your neck feeling, Matt?
Good luck, Matt.
Yeah, what is he? He builds cars to do that?
So he listens daily, or he downloads daily. Please hit us up on Twitter. I want to see that vehicle. I want to see some of these cars.
Well, Kenny, I can show you. You sent me a picture.
It's the green photo that's framed out here.
He hasn't painted this one yet. Matt has a signature lime green.
Oh, that's an old one.
Yeah. Kind of a Martian green.
Because that was the one that's in the offices from last summer.
Chief Offsite Correspondent Kelsey notes that twice in a week, Cher is moving to the right. And apparently, I don't like to give Cher a lot of time because I think she's dumber than a fence post.
Does she have much time?
But she sent out a tweet that says, "Does Bernie Sanders really believe people in prison who are murderers, rapists, child molesters, Boston bombers still deserve the right to vote?" And the answer, Cher, is yes. That's what Bernie Sanders believes. So once again, Cher, you find yourself drifting to the right side of the aisle.
Right.
Bernie Sanders voices belief that felons should not be deprived of a right to vote. During a CNN town hall Monday night, Sanders was again asked about his position by host Don Lemon. "Yes, even for terrible people, because once you start chipping away, you say, that guy committed a terrible crime, we're not going to let him vote, or that person did that, you're running down a slippery slope," the socialist said. "So I believe people who commit crimes, they pay the price and they get out of jail, they certainly should have the right to vote. I believe even if they are in jail, they're paying the price to society, but that should not take away their inherent American right to participate in our democracy." Do you want to know why he's so wrong?
Why?
I believe that if you serve your time and clean up your act and you're back out in society, mm-hmm. you should get to vote.
Not while you're incarcerated.
Not while you're in prison. You can make the argument that a felon who serves his time is legally leaves prison and is now a tax-paying citizen who is kept trouble-free, he gets to vote. He's paid his debt. The guy, and he has skin in the game of America. He's a taxpayer. He's working. The moron Boston bomber sitting in jail has no skin in the game.
Right.
He's not a tax-paying citizen who has a credible voice in the political activities of this nation. So Bernie Sanders is a crabby old thing I can't say, and I think he's a ridiculous fool. And
as for Cher, how old is she?
72.
Oh, well, that's not old enough. I was thinking she's reached that age where she just doesn't know or care what she's saying out loud anymore. Like, remember when grandma, all of a sudden, when you were a kid, all of a sudden grandma started dropping the F-bomb? You know, because she just didn't know
I never heard a grandmother say that.
She just didn't know or care or anything. No. And she was just, wow, grandma, this is a new you.
No grandma of mine would have even known the word.
Okay. It, she just reminds me of somebody who's finally reached that age. It's like, yeah, believe them.
Screw it.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Some fascinating.
Sit down and shut up.
Thank you. Some fascinating. In many ways, the left is going to make it easier to push back, and I'll explain in a moment.
Clicking on ProfessionalTurf.com will give you a beautiful lawn all season long. Now, you might know I'm a hardcore do-it-yourselfer, but the day I threw the spreader away and handed the lawn care duties to ProfessionalTurf.com, that was the best thing I ever did for my lawn, and I've had the best lawn on the block ever since. That was years ago. I also had their landscape division update my layout. That forced my equity and gave the place amazing curb appeal. Lawn care, sprinkler system service, and landscaping. Click on ProfessionalTurf.com.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Soucheray.
I think the left is going to make it easier
the pushback by going to visit two failed academies here.
Okay.
See if you can identify the common theme.
Ooh.
We'll start at Michigan State University. A diversity group. Now, pay attention. This is an interesting lesson here at the University of Garage
Logic.
You
just named the school.
That's not going to be what the common theme is. A diversity group within the College of Natural Science at Michigan State University told students that no science is needed to support transgender and non-binary identities, and that such support is simply a matter of affirming their experiences. A campus forum reported, citing an email the outlet said it obtained. The Natural Science Council on Diversity and Community penned the email, which was called Increasing Transgender Visibility on Campus. The email asked students to reflect on how visibility of minoritized groups, I believe that's a made-up word, the email asked students to reflect on how visibility of minoritized groups is essential to changing our campus culture, Campus Reform said, and suggested a number of online resources to help in that regard. Writing with non-gender neutral pronouns is serious pain, the pronoun site says. Some prefer the Franken words he, she, while others rack their brains. Some stick with a particular pronoun for one paragraph or chapter, then swap out the one they're using. Others alternate he and she by sentence or using a plural adapter, but that all sounds confusing. The site adds that they don't assume a person's gender, and it doesn't assume there are only two, and that it's inclusive of people of all different genders. Let me stop right there. They've gotten themselves so painted into the corner, they don't even know what they're talking about. Ashley Deaton, a food science and microbiology student, told Campus Reform that the email is dangerous as it reflects a single mentality that actually isn't as straightforward as people believe. MSU physiology student Shad Soldano told the outlet he sees things differently, saying he believes the email stands for a good cause in bringing awareness and hopefully eliminating remaining prejudices towards the transgender community. Campus Reform said it did not immediately hear back from Shelby Gombosi, the MSU administrative assistant who sent the email. MSU on Tuesday did not apply to the Blaze website. That's Glenn Beck's website. Mm-hmm. They sport a lot of Campus Reform material to request for comments. So to go back to the beginning, a diversity group within Michigan State University's College of Natural Science told students that, quote, no science is needed to support transgender and non-binary identities. All right. We're now going to visit another failed academy.
Okay.
All right. Texas School District survey tells 3rd to 11th grade students that gender is how a person feels. All right.
Okay.
One of Texas's largest school districts told 3rd through 11th grade students in a recent survey that sex is what a person is born, gender is how a person feels. The statement was part of Austin Independent School District's 2018-2019 student climate survey. Following the statement, students were asked to indicate how they felt about their identities. The answer options included, I am a girl/woman, I am a boy/man, and I identify in some other way. Additional space was provided for students to describe how they identify. Austin Independent School District is the 5th largest school district in the state with more than 83,000 kids. The Federalist estimated that 57,000 children took the survey this year, assuming the number of an even division of students across grade levels. The district claims that the questionnaire helps it examine factors contributing to student success beyond test scores. All right. Parents often have no idea what questions are asked on school climate surveys until after their children take the evaluation. At the beginning of each school year, parents sign multiple forms allowing the district to administer such surveys. Such surveys are part of the Obama administration's 2015 Every Student Succeeds Act, which updated the No Child Left Behind Act of 2002. The updated act included allowing states to evaluate children on non-academic behaviors and feelings known as socio-emotional learning.
You okay?
He will be eventually.
Some critics believe the surveys are a way to impose transgender ideology onto students. Both the content and process are statist in nature. Think of it as groupthink. We're the government, and we're here to help. The net effect is to build a collective mindset, Stella Morabito, a Federalist senior contributor, said last year at a presentation before the Family Research Council. Morabito worked in intelligence for about 10 years and is an expert in propaganda. Power elites have always utilized propaganda through psychological manipulation to coerce the masses to bend to an agenda and over time fake premises like the notion that sex is assigned at birth. Slowly, that makes its way into law, she said. All right. Almost done here. Pediatrician and education researcher Karen Ephraim told the Federalist that...
We've had her on the show.
We have? Karen Ephraim?
Yeah.
Whether it's comprehensive sex education or a survey, if you're bringing stuff like that up, sexuality, you are potentially creating upset or conflict. Okay, what's the common theme here? Michigan State. Go back to the College of Natural Science at Michigan State.
Where they say you don't need any science.
Saying we don't need science to support the what we claim to be transgender and non-binary entities. And here in Austin, Texas, the kids are being told or had survey questions that say sex is what a person is born. Gender is how you feel.
Okay, I think I got it.
All right.
What if you just hate yourself?
Yeah.
Is there...
Well, what have they disqualified themselves from? These two failed, the two failed academies in this brief exercise, Michigan State and the Austin Independent School District in Texas. What have they disqualified themselves from the standpoint of a garage logician?
From fact.
Well, you're on
and
the right track.
It's more how I feel. Nature. What am I trying to say?
Don't look at me, dude.
Oh.
What have they disqualified themselves from?
Preaching
about
climate change.
Exactly. You cannot now come back to me and say I must adhere to what you're calling scientific consensus. Mm-hmm. You are now telling me that you not only don't need science, you don't believe in it when it comes to gender identity.
You're just going to believe what supports your own personal agenda.
You cannot now credibly come to me and say, you are a denier, Souchere. You don't believe the science. Well, either do you. You don't believe the science.
You got a gotcha there. You got a gotcha.
But they're disqualifying themselves from... But see, when you're in the club, you don't even care about your own hypocrisy.
Or your own integrity.
Right. They'll
brush
continue.
This aside
they'll
and...
continue to use the climate as a means of bringing about the mystery. But when it comes to your own sense of your personal identity, science doesn't they've dreamed up this idea that sex is what you are at birth, gender is how you feel about it. That's a denial of X and Y chromosomes. Science is pretty settled on men and women.
Right.
I don't care if you're gay or lesbian or any of that. I get that. I don't care that those things happen. You can get them.
Right.
You can get them. But I'm not buying your BS that you want me to also believe. Because next week I'll get an article from out of Michigan State that says they're having climate change protests. Well, why? You don't believe in science.
The integrity issue is what interests me because every day now this week you've proven the people that have given us these predictions and these numerous 10-year windows have absolutely no integrity whatsoever.
Of course
not. None.
Yesterday, one of our most regular Twitter followers, Kenny Lee, the delivery guy, sent us this note. University of Michigan's Army of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion bureaucrats.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
So these are all. There's a list of 30 people. The lowest salary on here starts at $90,000, all the way up to $395,550 for the Vice Provost of Equity and Inclusion and Chief Diversity Officer.
Fellas, for $350, I'm going to believe whatever you tell me to believe. I'm signing up right
you think
now.
You think the kids in the Austin Independent School District in Texas, don't you reasonably assume that the orthodoxy they're getting is that climate change is real and we must believe the science?
Of course.
Yes. 100%.
But they're telling the same kids, hey, don't worry about what kind of swimsuit area you got. That's not science. You just be whatever you feel you are.
Kenny,
then you're disqualified.
Kenny, I picture you as the
faculty lead, Office for Health, Equality, and Inclusion. You can make about $218 a year.
$218, I can live on that.
Nice.
Yeah. The wife's going to have to keep working, though.
You think Moeller's angry at me?
Well,
from yesterday,
he's going to be when I bring in my spotlight battery that's about the size of a brick. It's a two-hander.
No, I made the simple assertion that they're kind people and they helped me put a new battery in a key fob for a car. Now, just settle down. You go into a Moeller store and you say you are appreciating Moeller's presence on the podcast. They will change your watch battery at no charge. I'm talking about RF Moeller Jeweler, founded 68 years ago by Bob Moeller on a foundation of service, and in 68 years, they've not only acknowledged that, they've embraced it, they've made it their hallmark. They have goldsmiths in staff. They specialize in restoring your heirlooms. Every piece taken in for repair is inspected 4 different times. Here's the best part. Your jewelry never leaves the store. They have 2 Rolex-trained watchmakers with 40 years of combined experience. And if you mention, as I said, you heard this on the GL podcast, they'll replace your watch battery at no charge. Mother's Day is coming up.
Woo.
Why don't you get her something that lasts longer than a brunch?
Yeah, something she can
ever think about it that way?
Throughout the year.
A beautiful piece of jewelry lasts a lot longer than a brunch, and then mom gets to pass it down to her own children. That's why you're not buying a watch or you're not buying jewelry. You're buying treasures for your family. Moeller is the best at this, and they'll help you. RF Moeller Jeweler, 50th in France in Edina, Ford in Cleveland and St. Paul, Gavaday Common in downtown Minneapolis, or online at rfmoeller.com.
Yeah.
What were those salaries you were kicking around?
This was the University of Michigan's Army of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Bureaucrats.
Oh, yeah. That's a mouthful. And they're making a lot of dope?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Associate Vice Provost for Academic Affairs, Senior Director for Institutional Equity, and Title IX Coordinator is a gal by the name of Pamela Hetley, and she knocks down $170,000
really?
A year.
Yeah.
One question,
really?
Reavers.
Yep.
Where do I send my resume?
Yeah.
Well, then Chris Taylor in Minnesota, he's getting shortchanged.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Tim Walz just named him the new state's chief inclusion officer for state government.
Sure.
He's been tapped from the Minnesota Historical Society for the job. He is tasked with diversifying state government's workforce of more than 30,000 people, but he's only going to get $148,000.
Oh, he can't live on that.
How can he get by on that?
He's going to have to get a part-timer.
Taylor said at a news conference he'll work to illuminate the disparities, inequities, and privilege that are built into the system, which is absolute B as in B, S as in S, gibberish. He says that means creating a mindset throughout state government that it's stronger when it includes workers with a broad array of experiences and viewpoints. Okay, I'm all on board, but I think the state government is stronger when it includes workers who are actually good at what they do and we don't spend hundreds of millions of dollars on failed IT projects.
Right.
You still waiting for a license? Mm-hmm. What the hell does diversity got to do with that?
Mm-hmm. What's your runaway theocracy? Was that used for climate?
Mm-hmm.
We need runaway something for what's going on.
How about, who is this? What's his name?
Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor. How about Chris? You just hired the best people for the job. I don't care if they're red, white, or blue. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they are.
What if they have a bosom growing out of their forehead?
If they're good at fixing the Minlars program, I say hire them and just get over looking at their forehead.
What if that bosom has a nipple that's pierced and there's a dangling pierce hanging there?
Just so long as you can get your license tabs and your license. I don't care.
My okay. My son.
This guy's only going to make 148 G's.
Poor guy.
That's you know on. What that is? Nothing. Not compared to the higher failed academy.
Oddly enough, my son and his son played Highland Park Little League together.
I didn't know.
So and you're tight with him.
Oh, Chris Taylor's son?
No, and he would be a GLer.
Chris is?
I think he would surprise you.
Well, that's fine. I'm not Let's ripping Chris Taylor.
Oh,
we can
up?
Have him on.
He's a good guy. I like the guy.
Well, let's have
well,
him on.
I didn't
on.
Say he was a bad guy.
I know you did. I'm just saying full disclosure.
If he's a GLer, he can take it. He's one of us.
I don't know if it's 100% in, but by the way he held himself, he was not a euphorian saying, oh, we got to
Maybe
all
he
have.
Was just humoring.
Well, why don't you see, next time you see Chris, say, Chris, What did you mean when you say you have to create a mindset throughout state government that includes that is stronger when it includes workers with a broad array of experiences and viewpoints, and you wish to illuminate the disparities, inequities, and privilege that are built into the system?
I'll get in touch with them.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'll get in touch with them, and you can say that to them. What does that mean? Yeah. They'll probably say...
Just tell them all we ask is you hire the best person
available. Chris.
I would ask Chris for the low price of $164,800 a year. Judy got a better gig than Chris did because she's the special consultant for communications and engagement for diversity, equity, and inclusion strategic plan.
For the state?
Michigan.
Michigan. I can read right through that doublespeak. You know what she is?
What?
PR.
Yeah. 100%.
PR.
Yep.
You don't even have to spell it out or say the word. It's PR.
It's not PR.
Media relations?
Let me get heavy.
Okay.
Oh.
Read me the title.
I love when this comes out of the title.
I know what it is. It's
strategery.
Judy Lawson at the University of Michigan. Judy Lawson, for $164,800 a year, is being paid for the role of special consultant for communications and engagement for diversity, equity, and inclusion strategic plan.
The reason the academy has failed is because that job definition now explains perfectly what the failed academy is in the business of doing. They're in the business of continuing to identify new victim groups. And with each one of these made-up job titles, they're expanding the failed academy's role, not in educating people in the traditional liberal arts. They're expanding the academy's role in finding failure. They're expanding the academy's role in assigning arbitrary equity wherever they see it.
How wide a net can we now cast with all of these people that we have on board?
Yeah.
I still say she just does media relations.
She'll do media relations insofar as those relations involve her identifying a new group on campus that has been culturally appropriated.
She has obfuscated my brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we don't push back, we're done. What a bummer.
What are we even pushing back against in her case?
I don't know.
What is that doublespeak?
It's damn near impossible to figure out what the hell they're even talking about.
I know. It's like, I'm pretty sure she does media relations.
Hey,
I need two tickets for tomorrow's game.
Right,
that's her job.
Now, go back to this College of Natural Science at Michigan State University where they say we don't need any science. What was the... The email asked students to reflect on how visibility of minoritized groups is essential to changing campus culture. Okay, let's see who wrote this. Whoever wrote this, Kenny, has a job title similar to hers.
Of course.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Who wrote this?
Getting the word out.
Okay. Shelby Gombosi, the MSU administrative assistant who sent the email. Look up, go to Michigan State.
Here we go.
Go to Michigan State University, and we want to know what fake job title Shelby Gombosi has. Shelby, S-H-E-L-B-Y.
Shelby.
Gombosi, G-O-M.
Gombosi.
Slow down, G-O-M.
B-O-S-I.
B-O-S-I.
Now, she's called an administrative assistant, but you know damn well she's got a fancier job title than that.
Oh, I've got her picture.
Should probably turn the mic on.
Yep.
She is the Academic Student Affairs Administrative Assistant.
Yeah.
Secretary.
I rest my case.
Well, secretary in 1950, administrative assistant.
Well, let's go to the directory, though. Maybe we can find, Office of Research Support. Let's see.
She has a lovely smile. She looks happy, Joe.
Let me see her.
She's making some money. She's got to be.
Oh, yeah. Hi, yeah. Shelby.
Yeah.
How are you?
How you doing?
But they're hiring more of those types of people that have made-up jobs than they're hiring people that might actually help your kid learn something.
Joe, I'm on page 5 of the employee directory. Mm-hmm. Page 5, there's about 20 listings per. I'm not even out of the A's yet.
I know, it's amazing. This is why the academy's failed. This is the business they're in now.
Well, I hope you're happy.
I'm not happy. Why am I happy?
Well, yeah, which one are you?
Which one?
Which one are you? Little guy got out of the car, right, looked up at me and said, I'm not happy.
What are you angry about
I
today?
I said, which one are you?
I'm angry.
I remember when you told me that joke, I really bought into
well,
you were in an accident. And why, I said, why didn't you tell me that you were in an accident the other day or whenever it was?
That's a suit reaction.
No, I got rear-ended on University Avenue. I thought, oh, God. A guy got out of his car. He walked up to me, and I noticed he was a very small person.
Yeah.
And he looked up at me at the window, and he said, I'm not happy. So I said, well, which one are you? You know, ba-dum-bum-bum, you know. Get it? See the seven.
Sure. Yeah, I got you. Yeah,
you
got
you. Are you dopey? Or,
yeah, which one?
He came to the front desk. Wasn't that how it originally was told? He came to the
front
desk?
No, it happened right out on the street.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, he was out
right there.
You were pre-light rail.
On the street. we're not done yet. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Hey, GLers, how would you like to hit the open road, see the country, and get paid to do it? Here's your chance. For over 100 years, Jefferson Lines has provided exceptional motor coach service, and they are looking to expand their driver network. Get behind the wheel and captain your passengers across Minnesota and throughout the Midwest. Jefferson Lines offers competitive pay, benefits, and a $1,500 signing bonus. Experience the freedom of the open road and the satisfaction of safely delivering your riders to their destinations. There's nobody I would trust more behind the wheel than a true GLer. Go to jeffersonlines.com and click on careers for more details. That's jeffersonlines.com. And click careers to apply today.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Souchere.
All right, most of the lakes are ice out. That means you're getting up to the cabin, you're putting in your dock, and you want that beach to be perfect for the kids to go swimming. Get a hold of Aquaside. They've been helping people maintain Great Lake Shores for more than 60 years. They have a complete line of lake and pond control products that will take care of everything from weeds to algae. Aquaside products are easy to use. They begin working right away. When I'm out cruising around Spoon Lake in the GL riverboat, the wooden-hulled submarine, I can always tell which lake shore has been treated with Aquaside because the kids are happy and they're not running back into the house to read comic books. Aquaside is registered with both the EPA and the DNR. Their products are safe. Don't let weeds overtake your lake or pond. Call Aquaside today. They'll help you identify your weed problem and make sure your place looks great all summer long. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350. That's 1-800-328-9350. Or go to aquaside.com. Easy to order online, and they normally ship the same day.
What year is it at your lakeside cabin? Because I don't ever remember seeing a kid running in to read comic books.
Oh, yeah. Because the weeds get them, and they go, I'm not staying in this water.
Is it like
Superman Volume 3?
1957. Speaking of the failed academy, presidential candidate Liz Warren, one of what, at least 20 Democrats now?
I think it's minimum of 20.
I think
now
we've hit 20. She wants us to pay for the college loan debt that everybody has.
Oh, sure,
country.
Yeah.
I have my own kid to pay for.
Well, somebody going to send me some money? Because I'm already done.
Well,
I
you've got a half a dozen kids.
Two are almost done.
I bet you're still paying on yours, Such.
Nope.
You're done.
I'm done.
Well, you're out of the loop then. You don't get anything. Reavers, though, you better be saving
now. I got a big...
No, he doesn't have to save. She's going to save us.
I got a big raise when the last kid graduated.
Ain't that the
I
truth?
Got a big raise.
Yep.
Fantastic. But you know who's taking off after old Lizzie Warren?
Who?
Our buddy the pirate, Dan Crenshaw.
What'd he say?
He slapped down a proposal by Senator Elizabeth Warren to put the taxpayers on the hook for more than $1 trillion of student loan debt.
Why?
Why would he shut her down? Because she's nuts.
Oh, he's shutting her down.
You thought he meant that he was supporting
her. Oh, God, no. He's a Republican.
Okay.
Student loan debt is crushing millions of families, said Warren. Student loan debt is crushing millions of families. That's why I'm calling for something truly transformational. Universal free college and the cancellation of debt for more than 95% of Americans with student loan debt. Read all about it here. And then she links you to something on her preposterous website. Lady, you're daffy. First of all, if you can't pay the loan back, then don't take the loan. But see, we're entering a new America here. I mean, this is reflective of socialism. Crenshaw shot down the proposal and explained why he thought her policy was terribly clumsy and unfair. Loan forgiveness for people making up to $250K, Crenshaw responded with a link to Warren's tweet. This plan effectively asks all Americans, he continued, many of whom never got a degree, to give their tax dollars to people who chose to take out a student loan so that they could get a job paying $250K a year. And terribly clumsy and unfair policy, he concluded. Warren's presidential campaign is struggling to gain any traction, so she came up with this preposterous giveaway program.
Wow.
Just a preposterous giveaway program. Remember when the kids were asked at the Florida International, do you believe in socialism? They said yes.
Mm-hmm.
But when they were asked, would you give some of your high grade point average to people with lesser grade point averages? They said, well, no, I work for that.
Yeah, well, it's going to get a whole lot
same
worse.
Thing. It's going to get worse. Yeah, of course it
it's
is.
It's going to get a whole lot
because
worse.
Because she's foundering in the campaign. Think of all the ones now that really want to think they have a chance at the presidency. And they're trying to gain purchase. They're going to come up with stuff wackier than her.
Of course they are.
Why wouldn't they go the other way and say, well, that is absolutely ludicrous? And
who's they? Crenshaw did.
Yeah. Well, everybody else in the field. I mean, I don't see it getting worse than that.
So if
well, they'll start eating each other pretty soon. They'll start devouring each other.
I think
other.
They already have.
Yeah.
If she was really that passionate and wanted to really get behind the solution to this problem, why isn't she going after big education for the amount of money that it costs to go to these schools?
Because the government's already been the middleman in the loan scam, and they've been making money off
right.
it. Big education and big government have an unholy marriage.
Because this is analogous to, I'm probably going to get hate mail for saying this, but what do I care at this point? This is analogous to being mad at the gun, not the gun owner.
Right, exactly.
It's the exact same thing
right,
here.
Right. Well, it can't happen. We can't afford this. Where are you going to come up with $1 trillion? The college is going to stand there with its hand out and say, we want our money.
Because no one in this room disagrees that the cost of education is skyrocketing, and it's almost criminal at this point.
But yet, big education has never been brought to Washington.
No.
Big pharma has. Big insurance has.
Mm-hmm.
Big tobacco
big
has.
Tobacco.
Big oil has.
Right.
Big pop soda.
Big sugary
sugar.
Drinks have. Hey, you hypocrites, Elizabeth Warren, chief among them. Why don't you bring big education out there and put them under the Klieg lights and sweat them?
Well, then how will
what are you doing with your billions and billions of dollars of, what's
endowment.
That word? Endowments.
Well,
what are you doing with it?
We have to pay $200,000 for the gender equality education
consultant.
Assistant
yeah.
consultant.
Yeah, because we don't believe science. You don't need science.
Nah.
Not when it comes to that. You are what you feel. On any given day, you are what you feel. You don't have to worry about the science, kids. That's just not nothing you have to worry about. Don't forget at DennisKirk.com, you order today. They order today by 8 o'clock. They ship it tomorrow. An $89 order ship free at DennisKirk.com.
The best lawn you've ever had is a simple click away at ProfessionalTurf.com. That tired, patchy, disease-riddled disaster of a lawn you've been fighting for years, it'll be transformed into a thick, luscious carpet of green. ProfessionalTurf.com, they've been at it since the earliest of the 80s, and they're going to come out to your place, give you a free lawn care estimate, and then set you up with a 3-to-5-step program that will have you with the best lawn in the block from now until late fall. ProfessionalTurf.com.
You know where you're at.
Truth, justice, and the suture.
The off-air rookie show. My goodness. Wow.
That needs to go on Twitter.
I just had a
come
heart
back
attack.
For some more.
We've consulted with the correct meteorological authorities, and we can make it official. All watches and warnings have been canceled for Friday's garage door opener at Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats in Hugo up on Highway 61.
Let me just interrupt you.
We're not going to be there Friday.
No, we're not.
That doesn't mean you can't go there and buy your brats for the weekend.
No, but I've got good supplies. On my way in, I was hungry. and I grabbed the jalapeno chicken sticks that I got. And I was real leery about a chicken stick.
Yeah. How's it different from
beef? It's just like a beef stick. It tastes delicious.
I'm sorry, Spencer. I'm trying to do an ad for you.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I need to ask you, dum-dum, something. Yeah. When we finally do the opener and we finally get to go up to Grundhoffer's, would it be okay with him if I brought up about, I don't know, 50 to 60 pounds of venison and had him turn it into dried beef or sandwich meat?
Do they do
that? That's what he does.
Smoked.
I would check, but I believe that's one of the services at Grundhoffer's Old Fashioned Meats.
Yeah.
Good. And then I'm going to bring some up.
130 brat flavors. You want professional meat cutters? Here you got them.
Blue cheese and green olive is the latest.
Pick out your steak and tell them how you want to cut.
Yep.
Pick out the bacon and tell them how you want to cut. Mm-hmm. Pick out the ham and tell them how you want to cut. This is professional meat cutters.
Yeah.
This is the brat capital of the world. Grundhoffer's Old Fashioned Meats in Hugo on Highway 61. Grundhoffer'sMeatMarket.com. So and just because Easter's over, that don't mean no double smoked ham ain't over.
Every Sunday.
So here's what I'm picturing. We do the opener, let's say, probably a week or 2 weeks from tomorrow, whatever it is. And here comes Kenny.
Hey, y'all.
Y'all do medicine up in here.
Here's Kenny with news.
Like on the hood of the truck.
I had this hanging in my silo for most of the winter. It kept good right up until the end of March. Oh. Now it's got a little bit of green on it. I'm wondering if y'all can turn this into dried jerky for me.
They'd look at it with a toothpick coming out of their mouth and say, I think we can cut around that.
Yep, we can cut around that.
We can cut around that.
You cape it out well?
Yeah.
Hey, I have to bring up something really quick. Yesterday, our guy Pete, sales guy here in the office, we had his retirement party yesterday afternoon over in St. Louis Park at the Park Tavern. Pete, great guy, been in the radio business for decades.
Everybody in town knows Pete.
So he's worked at, he worked over at KQ. He's worked for Clear Channel. He's worked
Pete
for everybody.
Frisch.
Yeah, Pete Frisch, our buddy. And he's retiring at the end of this week. Of course,
he has been separated at birth from a guy on the Golf Channel whose name is escaping me.
All right.
I texted Rob O'Brien during the Masters. Pete Frisch was separated at birth from a guy on the Golf Channel.
Really?
Oh, shoot. You'll know his name.
Isn't Grundhoffer's Pete's account?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
He brought him to us.
So, in any event, I'm talking with people I used to work with at other places and people that we work with here. And it was a great congregation of a lot of people, old radio dinosaurs like the rest of us. And everybody was coming up to me about the podcast, including, guess who listens to us every day?
Uh-oh.
The Chucker.
Oh, really?
Les Lastman.
Really?
Because I said,
can't take you enough of the time.
I said, does it bug you? He goes, hell no. He goes, I love you.
The most trouble I've ever been in this business publicly was because I stole a line from John Lastman and I used it on the air at the most inappropriate moment you can possibly imagine. I had people out for my job and writing letters to the editor calling for my beheading, and it's all because of Lastman, who just had the most wonderful line, and I simply just stole it from him. And there's no way I'm going to repeat it on the air,
because
I don't need that kind of heat again.
Okay, good. But it was really cool, and so a lot of people wanted to just say that they listened to the show.
I knew John when we were both young kids.
Well, how do you not? I mean, it's the biggest compliment, but the Power 92 thing, and you guys, your Zepp stuff when it was Kingdom Come, we're not Zeppelin. It just, when he had Fred Savage on, he thinks I'm Doogie Howser. It was just, it was bleeping brilliant.
But the guys who played along with it were the best.
Yes.
And
yes.
They weren't frequent.
Right, right.
What was the line about the Dead music, Grateful Dead music?
Why does the Power 92, why do the deadheads always have their hands up in the air? He says, I don't know why. They're trying to get that horrible music out of their eyes. And then I don't remember what the other joke was.
I don't remember
either. But it was fabulous.
Oh, it was two tennis shoes and a dryer. Wasn't that the line for the
drum beat? Was two tennis shoes and a dryer.
Yeah.
Say, Mother's Day is coming up. Lots of great gift ideas at RF Moeller. Get mom something that will last longer than flowers and most certainly will last longer than a Sunday brunch. RF Moeller Jeweler, 50th in France and Edina, Ford in Cleveland and St. Paul, Gavaday Common in Minneapolis, and rfmoeller.com. Yeah, this Friday, unfortunately, it doesn't Now we're just going to be firm. There will be no opener.
Okay.
We're all reasonably confident that the temperature is not going to get much above 60.
Did we see it's going to snow on Saturday?
I'm not believing that. I'm not believing that. I refuse to believe
it's
that.
Such a hurtful forecast.
People have already been water skiing on the Twin Cities.
Yeah. In the parking lot right now in the back of my truck is the snowblower. I call it the big bastard. She's getting put away for the summer.
Well, then you're going to jinx us.
Yeah. And I put away the shovels
last
night.
Yeah, don't put it away yet.
Shovels have been put away.
My snowblower is still ready to go because I know if I put it away, it's over.
I mean, we'll get a snowfall. I still have my one blade out there, and she is raring to go. It's going to go on the hook.
Tomorrow, John Camp. John Sanford on the New York Times bestseller list with the new book Neon Prey. He's in town for a couple nights. He'll be
Author's Corner.
He'll be Once Upon a Crime.
Give him any way you want it. Yeah, let me just come in. How about a little preview? Author's Corner, huh? Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Ladies and gentlemen of Garage Logic, it's time for another segment of Author's Corner with Joe Souchere.
Was that
you? Author's Corner. Sometimes it gets a little bit crazy.
You know,
as opposed to, have you ever heard Garrison's version? Today on the Writer's Almanac, and they have like Chopin playing in the background.
No, at least that had something to do with what he was doing. This moron
Author's
comes in with these
things. With Joe Souchere, the countdown continues.
It has nothing to do with the countdown.
What is this one?
Author's Corner, Suchi style. Who will it be next?
Here's my favorite.
These are big time authors who come in here.
Sit right down for Author's Corner. Let's all have some fun. Listen up to Souchere, because before you know it, it's done.
That was back in the days where you used to care, rookie.
Right. This was the best, though.
Author's Corner with Joe Souchere. Just the way you want it.
They make no sense.
It makes good sense.
Don't offend my friend John tomorrow with that nonsense.
He's going to request it.
Oh. I love the time. It was one of my first times that Vince Flynn was on when I was with you guys. And I'm watching Joe's head just explode. And Flynn's laughing because he knows Rookie's just doing it.
Because that was
going.
The first time I said to him, create me some Author's Corner themes. And that was the first time I had heard him. I couldn't believe he was in.
I thought they were very good. A lot of
I'm
audio,
sure you did.
A lot of time in the audio
it's
room.
So funny. It's like Flynn was one of us almost sitting in the control room.
Oh, yeah.
Mocking Suchere.
Yeah, he would have preferred to have been in the control room ripping you and going, oh, my God. Look at him sitting over
Listen
there.
Listen to the serious question Joe's trying to. Yes.
You know what Vince was, among other great attributes? He was the world's most inoffensive name dropper.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He could tell you he had dinner with the King of Jordan, and he would tell you in such a way that it made it sound like he ran into somebody at Plum's.
Right. Yeah. One of my favorite stories about Vince Flynn attending St. Thomas Academy in high school was he lived in Apple Valley, so he had his duffel bag. And he brought his duffel bag with shoulder pads on. It was two-a-day practices. Showed up there, went through practice, met this guy named Tom Tracy. And Tom and Vince hit it off. And Tom didn't live far away, so Vince had nowhere to go for, you know, a couple of hours. So he said, come over to my house. So he went, sat there. He ended up sleeping over there a couple nights. And they became the best of friends. And Tom Tracy right now is a commercial real estate guy. But their friendship started just that first day of football, and it was...
That's how it often starts.
It is. It's just a great story.
In the locker room.
Yeah. Well, I didn't hear those stories.
All right.
Just the way
I don't want it. Yes.
And then James Pepe on Friday, presidential candidate James Pepe. He's from Minnesota. We'll learn more about him Friday.
The Garage Logic Podcast.
See you boys on Monday.
See you.
You going to the farm?
I'm going to the farm.
What are you
going to
do up there?
I forgot to tell the wife I'm going to.
Oh, my God. Send her a text. Hey, advertisers. We'd love to thank you for being with us in the Garage Logic Podcast, but the word is spreading. If you also want to be involved, we would love to hear from you. Rookie@GarageLogic.com, GLJoe@GarageLogic.com. Get a hold of us. Go to GarageLogic.com to hear more podcasts and all sorts of great information. We love doing this podcast, and we want it to continue. Thank you for listening. Garage Logic Podcast version.